Hey, listen, Frankie Monster, man, whatever your name is. Hey, I want to thank you for coming down and joining us for dinner, but I think it's time for you to go now. No, listen, you big dumb green bastard. I invited you here out of the kindness of my heart, with your dirty freaking clothes and your big stupid shoes. You drug mud all up in here with those. Now, the sight of you and the stink on you, dude, that wasn't the show killer. No, it's your bad habits, dude. Seriously, you're killing it for my guest here tonight. I made like 6 loaves of fresh bread. You ate every single one of them.
Bread.
Yeah, see? No more bread now, because you ate it all. There's none left for my guest now, you stingy pig. And Jesus, man, listen, I thought I bought plenty of beer for this party. But dude, seriously, I've never seen anybody drink like you.
Drink.
Yeah, drink. See, you drink like an animal. This isn't should I drink that, man. We don't chug beers here.
Good. Good.
Yes, it's very good. But now look, there's nothing left, and I still have more people coming. Dude, now what are you doing?
Oh.
Dude, you can't smoke pot in here, man. Man, some of my friends are in law enforcement.
Good.
Are you seriously taking a bong hit right here in my house? Man, get the hell out of here. Go, get the hell out, you stinky green piece of shit. Go.
Good evening. Welcome back to my life as a foodie.
How is it that my Dracula impersonation always ends up sounding like an old Jewish man from New York?
For the last time, my name is Murray. Please stop calling me Count Dracula, goddammit.
I was wondering what it would be like to have a Universal Studios classic monster over for dinner. Yeah, and I figured it would be a complete debacle. So, there you have it. Mine would pretty much go down like that. Frankenstein's monster for dinner. Oh, man. So, my beloved Dodgers are out of the NLCS once again by the dreaded defending champion Philadelphia Phillies. And this year, man, we didn't just lose. We got hammered. Hammered. There's a quote that was pulled from last year's playoffs. One of the Phillies pitchers. I heard it, and it literally helps me get out of my depression over the Dodgers losing. Listen to this.
But when you get that, you know, that nice celebration coming in the dugout and getting your ass hammered by guys, there's no better feeling than to have that done. And
dude, he didn't mean to say that, did he? I mean, seriously? Talk about using the wrong words. I got to hear that again. It makes me laugh.
But when you get that, you know, that nice celebration coming in the dugout and getting your ass hammered by guys, there's no better feeling than to have that done. And
if you listen, you can hear the reporter. Even he thought it was funny. He's like, did you just say that? Oh, man, I'm tearing up. I'm sorry. That was freaking hilarious. Talk about just not composing the sentence the way you wanted to. I'm sure it sounded good before he sent it through his lips, but, oh, man, that was wicked. All right, sorry. I got to get spooky here. Congratulations to the Phillies. I'm sure they'll do great in the series, maybe next year for the Dodgers again. I welcome all of you to our annual Halloween show, this year sponsored in part by After Dark Films Horror Fest 4 in theaters this January. Visit horrorfestonline.com for up-to-date information on the festival, which movies will be shown, and where you can see them. I've got quite a show for you, be honest. I've been working on this thing for about a month, off and on, and I've been preparing a lot of material. I've been working really hard lately at my job, so I haven't had a lot of time to devote to much else but the podcast. It's been my job and the podcast, so I've been giving it all the attention that I can when I have it. And there's something missing here. Hold on a second. Let's get spooky here, okay? Let's get spooky. Let's put on some Halloween music. Cue the spooky music, please. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Get some of that. Prepare to get your ass creeped the hell out. We got fun and games are completely over, kids. This year, we're being joined by Miss Horrorfest herself, Vic Tim, who will be calling into the show to creep you out and help you get into the Halloween spirit. And of course, we have a special horror movie quote game again. But this time, it's got a bit of a twist, and a little bit harder than last year's contest. This year, the contest is called Name That Horrible Dish. And here's how we're going to play it. I'm going to play a clip from a horror film, or kind of a horror film. Basically, let's just say it's a film where a lot of people die in it. Okay, and each film clip will deal with some kind of food. Or most of them will, anyway. You must tell me which movie the clip is from, which may or may not be that hard, as well as what food is in the scene. You'll get plenty of hints, but you must have seen the movie to get these answers right. There's no way you can guess this stuff. I was really shocked last year. A lot of you were horror movie fans. I didn't know that. I was very delighted to find out how many of you really got into the spirit of Halloween, because I love it. I really do. First person to send the correct answers to me at phil@mylifeasafoodie.com will win the grand prize. Second and third prizes will also be given away. Contest will officially end November 3rd. If nobody has guessed all of them correctly by then, we'll take the person with the most correct answers first as the winner, and then we'll go from there. So those of you who do visit the blog at mylifeasafoodie.com probably are aware of my new venture, making bacon at home. It worked great. I cured a Berkshire pork belly in nitrate, salt, and brown sugar for 10 days. Then I smoked the belly slowly over applewood. I sliced it and basically made some of the best bacon I've ever tasted. And any of you who might be interested in learning how to do this, you know, check out my post on making bacon. Again, that's mylifeasafoodie.com. I'm going to get into dry curing salami next. Salami, pepperoni, Spanish chorizo. Ruhlman's book, Charcuterie, explains the process really well. And the only thing I have questions about is the correct temperature to do the dry cure at. If you guys wonder why I'm not sharing recipes, here's a good reason. Dry curing salumi is really dangerous. Do it wrong, and you're going to end up eating meat that will give you botulism. So it can be deadly if you don't do it right. And I don't want that kind of responsibility on my hands. I don't want to give you instruction because I really don't know what I'm doing. I'm learning. So buy the damn book, okay? He knows what he's talking about. I'm only following his directions. People have been dry curing for years, so I'm sure if you follow directions, you'll be fine. I just want to make sure that I'm doing things right. And I don't want to kill my wife, my family, myself, or you, right? So I'm being as by the book as I possibly can. I'll update you with my progress on the site, so stay tuned there. Again, mylifeasafoodie.com, in case you haven't noticed. I'm doing the best I can to say mylifeasafoodie.com as many times as I can in 4 minutes. Did I win? Oh, man. I'm going to be playing footage throughout the program from an actual group of people who went ghost hunting in New Orleans years ago. They taped the whole thing and actually experienced poltergeist phenomenon. So we're going to hear clips from that throughout the program. Really cool stuff.
We're sending in 4 young people into this house to investigate the possibilities that the Lollaries did come here. What kind of things do you think they would should expect, or what kind of activity do you think they might find?
Just maybe a heaviness. People may sense that they're there. There's something in the room, but they just don't know what.
How dangerous could this be? I mean, how much is there to fear from spirits?
The thing that one must be cautious of is that these energies will attach themselves to the people, you know, who may be leaving. But it's a simple thing of just doing a cleansing, a prayer of protection.
So wait a minute, you're saying that they might bring out spirits with them,
mm-hmm,
and take them with.
I think we should have a beer before we get into things, right? Don't you think so? Y'all know I really dislike novelty beers, especially pumpkin beers. But this year, I finally had one that I could seriously sink my teeth into. Thank God Dogfish Head expanded their distribution and started offering their beer here in Southern California. Dogfish Head's Pumpkin Ale, which we started getting about a month ago here, is maybe one of the best pumpkin beers I have ever tasted, ever. And I've tasted a lot of pumpkin beers. This one's a strong brown ale. They brew it with real pumpkin, nutmeg, cinnamon, and brown sugar. It's 7% ABV, so it's got some beef to it. And I'm going to open one now. I'm going to start the show off right. Poured right here. It pours, you know, kind of a dark amberish brown color, like a dark nut brown. Really nice vanilla colored head. Nice legs. and leaves, you know, kind of a bit of a lace, nice frothy lace. We'll smell it. Got a nice malty nose, a little bit of pumpkin. You know, pumpkin doesn't hit you in the face. Then you taste it. Ah, creamy, a little bit of pumpkin there at first. But as you get more of it in your mouth, it really starts to fill in. Yeah, nice spice. I'm going to have some more. You can seriously taste that. It's like a drunken pumpkin pie in your mouth. Really good balance of pumpkin, spice. And I've said this before on Dude Night. I pretty much everywhere else that I've talked about pumpkin beer, I hate it. Because usually when these are brewed, they do this. They'll take a pale ale, and usually a really inferior pale ale. They'll throw a shitload of pumpkin pie spices in it and say, hey, look, pumpkin beer. No, that's not pumpkin beer. Don't be cheap. Throw pumpkin in the damn thing. You know, make real pumpkin beer out of it. And that's what they've done here. They started with a brown ale, which is a really good idea, and gave it more alcohol. Because that's what you need to do. It's got to have a base. It's got to have a really good base, to a foundation to build that pumpkin flavor on. And that's what they've done. It's just great. For a brown ale, I'd give it 4 stars. But for the additional pumpkin flavor, 4.5. And considering that most pumpkin beers I've tasted have ended up as drain pours, this is pretty damned impressive. Dogfish.com. Definitely look for this wherever you are. If you get Dogfish in your area, it's a wonderful fall beer, but really good for Halloween.
Now, you have a friend who actually lived in there, because tell me about that.
Yes, back in the 1960s, a family bought the home. It just so happens that there's some friends of ours, and they grew up for a number of years in that mansion. And they told some fascinating stories. On dark, stormy nights, they could hear a young girl screaming out in the courtyard. Oftentimes as children, they would see a dark figure of a man walking up and down the balconies, and it looked like he was covered in blood and chains. They also saw the figure of a woman who was carrying a bullwhip, who was screaming in French. Who else could it be but possibly Delphine Lalaurie herself? Throughout the years, there's been newspaper documentations of occupants of the home experiencing the same type of things.
What types of activities might they expect if the Lalauries had been there continuing these practices?
If they were conducting the same sort of experimentations, you're going to have a high concentration of negative energy. You're going to have a lot of pain that's been left there, a lot of sadness, a lot of fear, but more importantly than that, a lot of anger. Particularly if, as in the case with the New Orleans location, there were bodies that were not found until many, many years later. There's possibly even bodies that haven't been found yet.
So are you saying this could be dangerous?
Well, I would certainly think that if there's some bodies that were never, ever recovered, that those spirits are probably very, very angry, and they're also probably very anxious for people to know their story. And it's really no telling what could happen.
You know, last year we'd moved into our new place, and we left the house that we were renting behind. And as many of you know, if you listened to last year's Halloween show, we had quite a bit of paranormal activity in that house. And I'm not bullshitting you, it really was happening. I mean, for a lot of people thought it was a figment of our imagination, but there was some weird stuff happening there. I had told you the stories of lights coming on, doors that I knew I'd closed just moments ago being opened when I returned, and the cigarette smoke story, which to this day I can't explain. After I recorded last year's show, which kind of creeped me out a little, finally being able to share these stories with a wide audience and talk about it out loud by myself, I had a really strange dream. And this occurred the night I'd finished recording the Halloween show, because it was fresh in my mind, this stuff. Mind you, this was a dream, but it was still somewhat freakish, and it creeped me out a little further than I already was creeped out. When we moved into this place, our neighbors were really talkative. And of course, that's normal. You move in someplace, your neighbors want to get to know you. You're the new person, they want to meet you, talk it up, and figure out who you are and what you're about. So we talked to this couple quite a bit, off and on for a few weeks, got to know them fairly well, and I'll be honest, I find them, and I still find them, a little weird. Just a little off. They're kind of strange. Not that I'm normal or anything, but, you know, they seem to dance to a beat of their own drum, and it's a beat I don't think anyone else can hear, if you follow me on that one, okay? So I have this dream, which is vivid, and most of my dreams can be pretty vivid, and I'm going out to my garage for something, and I see this woman in a business suit showing this young couple the house next door, which I should add is incredibly barren. Katrina says looks like the moon in the backyard. It's got no backyard, really. It looked like it's hardly being taken care of at all. So I see her taking this couple back to her car. Then she begins to walk back toward the house. So I said hello, and I asked her what she was doing there. She said she was showing the house to people. That day she was showing it to a lot of people, and she was preparing for an open house this weekend. And I said, wow, really, they're selling the place? She goes, oh yeah, it's been on the market for over a year, and you know, the time is right. And I said, you know, I've been talking to them for a few weeks since we moved in, and they never said anything about selling it. There was this long pause, and she looked at me like I'd offended her, like I was making a joke. She said, what are you talking about? And I said, Lillian and Larry, my neighbors. Of course, I'd changed their names. She stares at me, and she goes, honey, the previous owners have been gone for a long time. Who are you talking about? I said, my neighbors, Lillian and Larry. She said, sir, Mr. and Mrs. Felton passed away 14 months ago, right here in this house. It was a dual suicide. They're both dead. So I don't know what you're talking about. And it dawned on me that, and a chill went right down my spine, I'd been talking to their ghosts since we moved in. These poltergeists were walking around in limbo in that backyard waiting for someone to talk to, and I was it. And I had no idea that they weren't real. I was living next to ghosts, and that explained why the previous owners who we bought this place from were motivated to sell the place. And I woke up, and I was sweating like Mario Batali wearing a fur coat in July. Freakish dream. It was unsettling. And I'm not afraid to tell you, I had a hard time getting back to sleep after that. Damn, still gives me chills just thinking about it. But that's the kind of crap that goes on in my subconscious. I really do watch too many horror movies. And I was really impressed with how many of you were into horror movies too. It was really great to find that out.
Over there, I'm just doing.
Relax, nothing's wrong. Everything.
Are we getting meter readings? What are we doing right now?
My meter don't work no more.
Okay, I think we're done in
it's
here.
Cooling off over here. Guys.
We're done in.
Guys, come here. It's not 80 degrees. Come here. It's not.
I feel a breeze. I feel a breeze.
Okay, so it's just a breeze because it's just not a breeze. As hot as it is over there.
It's just a breeze.
Dude, go in there, grab that chair, and you check it out.
No strings?
No.
I told you.
Hold on.
Hey, don't. Positive energy.
Come on.
White light. White light.
Hold the wall.
Hold the wall. Everyone.
Come on.
No, you have to stay with us.
Oh, yeah, I did.
You have to stay with us.
Let's go.
They're just trying to scare us. They just sit down.
We have a very special surprise for all of you today. After Dark Films Horror Fest 4 starts January 29th. And on the phone is none other than Miss Horrorfest herself, Victoria Tim, otherwise known as Vic Tim. Hi, Vic.
Greetings, Bill.
Thanks for coming on the show and being part of our Halloween celebration today.
Well, thank you so much for having me. It's such an honor. I love your show.
Oh, thank you so much. For any of you who aren't that familiar, After Dark Films Horrorfest is a collection of 8 films to die for. It's incredibly popular every year for horror movie fans everywhere. And Vic, explain something to my listeners here. You're kind of like Elvira, right? You introduce the movies before they play each one of them?
Well, you could say that. You know, if Elle Woods and Elvira had a baby, I would eat that baby. Now, I'm kind of a bubblier, blonder, super fun Elvira type girl. Basically, what I do is I'm the official spokeswoman for After Dark Films. You know, we produce this horror fest every year, and I was crowned last year Queen of Scream. I have a crown and a sash to prove it. And I basically spend my entire year promoting and talking about this amazing collection of films that now we've got going on our 4th year, coming back in January.
Now, that's great. Now, listen, everybody who wants to read about this, go to horrorfestonline.com. I read your bio on this website, and it's the most interesting bio I've ever read. It says that you were born dead. Is this true?
Yes, this is 100% factual. Sadly, I was strangled by my umbilical cord, which totally sucked the air out of me. But, you know, it wasn't really all that bad. It really was the thing that brought me to my true calling in life, which is death. And it's kind of just snowballed since then, and now I'm, you know, in the multi-million number of deaths, so I'm doing good.
Huh. So you were able to die and come back and die and come back.
Mm-hmm, yes. That cheerleader on that show is just copying my routine, okay? I don't even want to talk about that show. She's stealing my shtick here.
You know, the other thing, I read another thing on your bio, that you were actually appointed Secretary of Horror by President Obama. Was that a bigger thrill to you, or was it being crowned Miss Horror Fest?
You know what? Both of those things were really exhilarating, but I think now my newest thrill was, of course, receiving the Nobel Rest in Peace Prize for gore, which, you know, some have said it's a little bit premature, but you know what? They can suck it. I totally deserve that award, and I accept it on behalf of my Legions of the Damned.
Okay, the Nobel Rest in Peace Prize. I love it.
Yes, for gore in particular. It was a strong emphasis on gore.
Well, you're very deserving of it, obviously. I imagine somebody like you really knows how to get into the spirit of Halloween. Where are you spending your Halloween this year?
Oh, Phil, I'm going to be heading to this super cool new underground club. Okay, it's 6 feet under. It is totally not exclusive. And, I mean, everybody's going to be going there eventually.
That sounds fantastic.
You're invited, too.
Well, I appreciate that, but I think I'll have to take a pass.
Next time. Later.
Much later. I also read on your bio another interesting fact, that you hold the world record for most deaths in 60 seconds. Is that right?
Again, this is something that is 100% true. And I don't know. I can't really remember because I was dead. But some dude told me that it was true, and I totally believe him. I don't know. I guess beating my own record could be... I don't know. Are you offering to help me beat my record?
Yeah, I could. I could help you. That would leave blood on my hands. Probably not a good career move for me at this point.
No, but you do, I'm sure, have a lot of good utensils in that kitchen of yours that you could use in a creative way.
I have very sharp knives.
Mm-hmm. I've heard.
Mm-hmm. I know it's rude to ask a woman her age, but since you continue to die and come back to life, and you almost seem unkillable, how old are you?
7,453 and a half, plus 2 extra hours where I was revived one time and then came back. And anyway, it's a long story. But I'm really old. I just look really great in a corset. I mean, that's really my beauty secret.
I got to tell you, hitting on that point, I went to your website, horrorfestonline.com, and I saw your picture. I got to tell you something. For a person who's been dead so many times, you don't look that bad.
Thank you. Botox and Pilates. Yes.
Hey, listen, I know people who have only died once, and they look horrible. In fact, they look like hell months before they were dead. They're on their deathbed, and they didn't look as good as you do.
Well, what can I say? I'm sexy, and I'm dead. I'm dead sexy, Phil.
Yes, you are. You are dead sexy, Vic Tim. Let's talk about Horror Fest 4, which begins January 29th. Do you know which films have been named for Horror Fest 4?
Yes, it's such an exciting time right now, because so far, we have announced four of the eight films, so far. Those are The Graves, which is directed by Brian Pulido, starring Tony Candyman Todd, Bill Moseley, Claire Grant, Gillian Murphy. It's going to be a great movie. The second's called Dread, which is a Clive Barker story, and it stars Twilight, Jackson Rathbone. Look out, ladies. He's hot. And then the third movie is called Lake Mungo, which is directed by Joel Anderson. That movie's going to be really cool. I can't wait to tell you a little bit more about that one in a minute. But the fourth one's called Hidden, and it's sort of like a freaky Norwegian movie. We always do... Horror Fest is so cool, because it's 8 films to die for, but we also factor in different kinds of movies into those 8 films. We always have a foreign film. We always have... a really great variety of movies. It's not like you're going to see 17 zombie movies. You're going to see 8 completely different style horror movies. And Hidden is our foreign offering for the 8 films coming up in January. So we're really excited about all 4 of those so far. And then, of course, keep checking horrorfestonline.com, because we're going to be announcing the other 4 films, so the 8 films to die for.
Oh, that sounds fantastic. Of these 4 films, can you give us a short synopsis of the films? Tell us what they're going to be about?
Of course, and I'll do my best to keep it brief, because I get so excited to talk about these movies. You know, when you see a movie and someone else hasn't seen it, you just can't shut up, and then you're like, I don't want to give it away. But I'll tell you a little bit about all 4. The Graves, which is the Brian Pulido movie that has Tony Todd in it, it's about these 2 sisters, and they go on this really wild sort of road trip, and one of the sisters is going to be starting a new job and moving away, so they decide they want to have some fun together, and they go all around Arizona looking for sort of kitschy roadside attractions. They end up at this really spooky place called the Skull City Mine, and it's kind of like an abandoned mine town, and they go through this self-guided tour, but they end up fighting for their lives because there are all these like supernatural forces and monsters, and it's a really spooky movie. And plus, Tony Todd, master thespian, he does some really great work in this movie, and Bill Moseley's really scary too.
Bill Moseley is one of my favorite horror movie actors. He was in Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2,
yes,
and he was just fantastic. To this day, the best performance in any horror movie all time for me.
Isn't he brilliant? I got to meet him in person recently at the San Diego Comic-Con, and like, he just has sort of an eerie quality about him naturally. He's not even trying, and you're just like, ooh, what are you doing, Bill? He like mesmerizes you with his stare. He's great. And he's just sort of a staple today in the horror community. So we're so lucky to have him on board this movie, The Graves. So the second one that I want to tell you about is called Dread. And the two things to know about this movie: this is a Clive Barker story, and it's Clive Barker produced. So right away, you know that you're going to get high quality. You know it's going to scare the living shit out of you. And then the second thing to know is that it stars Jackson Rathbone, who, you know, all the 14-year-old girls right now are going so crazy for in Twilight. And this movie is really cool. It's about these two college students, and they start doing a fear study. And they start asking all these people, on camera what they're afraid of. They partner with this other student who ends up being a whack job. And he takes the footage, he watches the footage, and then he makes these people's fears come to life. And I have to tell you, it is just scary. It's probably the most disturbing movie that I've seen ever, like, since The Exorcist. There's so much in this movie. You're like, oh my gosh, no, oh my God, no, you know? Which I love going to the movies and feeling when I'm there. And this movie really makes you feel.
I think people love being scared. And you know, you mentioned movies like The Exorcist. This movie sounds horrifying. It's perfect because that's what we want. You know, we want to be scared.
Yeah, if you're going in it knowing, like, I want my skin to crawl and I want to be like, oh my God, then Dread is definitely a keeper. It's definitely a movie to see. So don't forget, January 29th, all of these movies are coming out. Okay, so we talked about The Graves, we talked about Dread, next is Lake Mungo, and Lake Mungo, it's kind of like watching a 48 Hours mystery episode, because throughout the whole movie, as you're watching, it seems real. It's kind of told documentary style. It's about this young 16-year-old girl who drowns in a lake, and then her family starts having these supernatural things happen inside their house as a result, and not until the end of the movie did I realize, oh my gosh, they were cast. All of these people are actors. I thought watching the movie that this was actually some kind of real documentary. And then it turns out at the end when you watch the credits that like all of these people that were playing these roles were actors.
Oh, I love that.
Isn't that cool? I felt like, because I love anytime 48 Hours Mystery comes on or one of those like 2020s where a girl gets murdered and what happened, like I always watch beginning to end. So Lake Mungo was a heck of a lot like that. It's an Australian film. I mean, not foreign as in foreign language, but, you know, we're pulling these movies from all across the globe. So this is going to be a really, really exciting movie. Oh, I don't want to tell you too much, but there's some really cool things where you're looking in a picture and you actually see her in the picture after she... Oh, my God, okay, I don't want to say anymore.
Well, Vic, don't ruin it.
I know, it's so creepy. Okay, and then the last one, sorry, I told you I'd talk your ear off about this. Part of being a spokeswoman is you could talk forever about these movies because they just motivate you, you know?
Yeah.
Hidden is going to be a really cool movie, too. It's, like I said, that freaky Norwegian movie. It's about this guy who he had this evil mother, and she dies, and then he goes back to the hometown where he was living, as a child, and he sort of relives all of the horrific things that happened to him as a child. So you might need some therapy after this movie.
Hey, Vic, let me tell you something. I need therapy right now, so it's not going to have any effect on me.
Oh, you need some therapy right now? How does that make you feel, Phil? How does that make you feel?
It makes me a scared little boy from the inside out.
Oh, Oh my gosh, that's such a cornball. I'm sorry. Okay, stop me now.
Okay, so those are the four films for now then, right?
Those are the films for now, but like I said, go to horrorfestonline.com, put us on your little favorites up there, on your little quickies, and then click on us and check out, you know, what the next four that are going to be announced are. You can also go, of course, to my YouTube channel. I make all these kooky, gory videos on YouTube, and you can go to youtube.com/MissVictoriaTim. And I get all the good information about the movies out to you, but in sort of a, you know, gory, sexy blonde girl kind of way.
That's perfect. And you were talking about this Lake Mungo and films like that that are real. Something that bugs me about horror movies, and I don't know how you feel about this. No matter what, when you've got this group of people that are in a house together, and either the power goes out, the phone goes dead, or there's this horrible noise coming from outside, there's always one idiot who says, "You guys stay here, I'll go check it out."
Yeah, right.
And it's never with a weapon either. It's like maybe a broomstick. I mean, who does this? It's easy for you. You can stick around and die. It's not a problem. But most of us, we can't come back from that.
I know. And then you always end up doing the Billy. Billy, where are you? Billy, this isn't funny. But, you know, there's some little recipes that go into every single horror movie, like there's no cell phone reception, where's Billy? You know, and then what always happens at the end of Where's Billy is, no! You know, and then imminent death. So, yeah, you know, when you're not prepared for that, like I am, of course, then you're probably going to be pretty scared.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the way I like to be.
I like being scared, too. And on that subject, let me ask you a question. What would you say would be your favorite horror movie of all time? If you had one horror movie, what would be your favorite?
Oh, God, that's so hard, Phil. Oh, my God. Okay, well, because I'm at Horror Fest, I have to tell you that my favorite Horror Fest movie of all time is, oh, I hate to say it because they're all my babies, Autopsy. That was really right up my alley because it was gore plus comedy, and it was so funny. It takes place in a hospital, and like the deaths are just magical, and like things that you've never seen. Like, I'm a connoisseur of death, so when I see something creative, like, I don't forget it. And Autopsy has a lot of really great creative deaths. So my favorite Horror Fest movie would be Autopsy, but my favorite horror movie of all time, oh God,
Oh, come on, go ahead. Just say it. The Exorcist.
Okay, well, yeah, The Exorcist. I mean, any time a 12-year-old girl can cuss like that and it's okay, it's fine by me. You know, I'm in.
Yeah, that's a really good reason for liking that movie.
Oh, yeah. But I also love The Shining a lot, too. I can watch that movie over and over again. Just so thrilling.
Okay, enough about eight movies to die for. Let's talk about food good enough to die for.
Okay.
If you knew you were going to die for good and you weren't coming back, this is the last one, and you could have one meal, what would you want your last meal to be?
Oh, revenge. It's just cold.
Revenge?
Yeah.
Well, that is a unique answer to that question. Do you like to cook?
Well, yes, but generally Jarvis, my zombie butler, does all of my cooking. Like, he knows that I generally prefer anything that's chopped or quartered or sliced. So he usually does most of that work. But I'm also very social. I'm always getting invited out to other people's dinner parties. People seem to really enjoy having me for dinner.
I'll bet they do. Okay. If you could have one classic horror movie figure to your house for dinner, who would it be?
Frankie, Mr. Frankenstein.
I just had him for dinner. At the beginning of the show.
Did you?
Yeah, and listen, let me tell you, it was no picnic.
Oh, no, he is such a dove. Have you ever played, like, Parcheesi with him? Get the board games out. He is so good at Twister.
Listen, I am not having that man back in my house for dinner. He came in here, he ate all of my bread, drank all of my beer, drug mud in here with his big stupid shoes, and he might be a blast to you. You had a good time with him, but he's not coming back in my house. I'm sorry.
Oh, Phil, you know what? You gotta forgive him. He has a really big head, and when your head's that big, there's really no telling what's going to happen when you're around. It's a huge head.
I know. Hey, have you ever died from eating something?
Arsenic, yeah.
You ate arsenic?
Mm-hmm. Well, it was an arsenic cupcake mixture that I had put together, popped it in the oven, Jarvis helped me, and sure enough, out cold.
Oh, boy. Hey, you know, listen, I have an idea, and we'll see if you're on board with this. Since you seem to be able to die and bounce back, this won't be a big deal to you, but I'll understand if you're not up for it. I was talking earlier in the show. I was telling my listeners that I'm making my own cured and smoked bacon.
Okay.
And soon I'm going to start working on making dry cured sausages like salami, pepperoni. And the thing is, it's kind of dangerous because when you dry cure, you have to use nitrate, which is like time-release curing salt that cures meat and prevents botulism. So I'm going to dry cure the sausage, but when it's done, if I haven't screwed the whole thing up, it should be botulism-free. But because I don't want to take the risk myself, I thought maybe I could send some to you and you can try it. You know, be my guinea pig. That way, if it kills you, I know I shouldn't eat it, and you'll come back to life anyway. How does that sound? You up for that?
Oh, yes. So I do food testing. I mean, I die for a living, so anytime anyone wants to test some crap out on me, like, they just sent me this thing called swine flu vaccination, and I just recently injected it. I feel fine. Send me all of your pork products. I will test them first, and, you know, after I die, I'll call you and tell you, okay, not that one. Don't sell that one.
Vic Tim, you are so sweet.
Oh, I know.
Okay, well, listen, Victoria, thank you for taking the time out of your deadly Halloween schedule to come on our show today. And let me ask you, and be honest about this, okay? What was worse, the first time you died or doing this interview with me?
This was pretty crappy.
Thank you. Good.
Oh my God, I had such a wonderful time. Thank you so much for having me on your show and letting me talk gore. And, oh gosh, maybe you could come over to my house after this interview's over and cook me up something in my cauldron. You like?
Oh, no problem. No, I'll serve you some really nice pork.
Oh, and I'll test it for you.
After Dark Films Horror Fest 4 starts January 29th. Visit horrorfestonline.com for more information, for showtimes, theater locations, and buy DVDs from previous Horror Fests. Vic Tim, thank you.
Rest in peace, Bill.
Happy entrails.
You too.
Throughout motion picture history, audiences have been terrified by the likes of Freddy Krueger, Jason Voorhees, and Michael Myers. But no one can prepare themselves for the new face of horror. This Halloween, Paula Deen is the Widowmaker.
In they go?
Yes. So let's come down here and put our sandwiches together. You want to?
I do.
We've got English muffins, buns, and look here what I got.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do.
Donuts.
Oh, yes, I do.
You're brilliant.
So what do you think?
I think we should go supreme with the donuts.
Okay? I'm game if you are.
Are you game or lame?
I'm game, honey. All right, so we got our burger. We got our egg.
Yes.
We got a couple of pieces of bacon. We're going to have our sweet and our savory.
Yes.
The girls are probably going to see this and say, y'all are out of your crazy minds.
Will you stop it? Are you out of your mind?
You ready?
This Halloween, Paula Deen is the Widowmaker.
Hey, y'all.
Okay, so I have to tell you guys something. I'm doing the pre-interview with Miss Horror Fest, you know, before so we can, you know, talk and I can tell her, you know, how this is going to go down. And I ask her, because I, you know, I don't want to be rude. I said, do you prefer Victoria or Vic? And she goes, well, it's Victoria, but my friends call me Vic because it's funnier when you say Vic Tim. And I'm like, okay. Huh? Like, I didn't understand this. What girl? I mean, she's obviously pretty. Goes by the name Victoria, but prefers to shorten it to Vic, which sounds like a dude's name, or, you know, someone who doesn't like dogs. She says, no, Vic Tim. Get it? It's funny. You have a sense of humor. Get it? Vic Tim. And I said, what? Then, all of a sudden, this light bulb goes off in my head. Victim. And I'm like, duh, tree. I swear to God, I am as thick as shit sometimes. I sat on this interview for close to a month with the name Vic Tim on my calendar. And it took her to drill that joke into my head for me to get it. And she's like, a little slow in the uptake there, fella. I said, listen, I'm not that bright. It's obvious. I mean, you people say, oh, your show is intelligent. Listen, that's by accident. I'm not that smart. Oh, that's disgusting. Unbelievable. And I'm sure you guys got that right away. Not me. It was embarrassing. Okay, let's play Name That Horrible Dish, because I know you guys are antsy. Here's how this works. I'm going to play a clip from a horror movie that has a scene involving food. You guess the movie correctly, and you will get 1 point. Some movies have bonus points, some don't. If you guess the food being discussed or referred to, or the secret ingredient, you'll get another point. Some clips have bonus questions, some don't. At the end of the contest, email your guesses to phil@mylifeasafoodie.com. Contest ends November 3rd. First person with the most points wins our grand prize. And what is our grand prize? It's a collection of promotional DVDs from After Dark Films, including some films from past horror fests, and just some films that are on their catalog. Consolation prizes will also be rewarded. We have t-shirts from Horror Fest 3, courtesy of After Dark Films, sized large to small, in both men's and women's sizes. And let me tell you something, ladies, the women's tees are really hot looking. I mean, you put on one of these tees, you'll be looking at another kind of fest. You know what I'm talking about? Man, they're tiny. Okay, let's play Name That Horrible Dish. Here's your first clip, worth a potential of 2 points. In this clip, you must name the movie for 1 point, and as a bonus, tell me what the food item is that's being referred to, but not spoken in this clip.
Hi.
Hi. What's that?
Oh, that's caviar.
What are those?
These are figs.
And that?
And this? That I don't think you would like.
It looks good.
Oh, it is good.
Can I have some?
You're a very unusual boy, aren't you?
I couldn't eat what they gave me.
Nor should you. It isn't even food, as I understand the definition, which is why I always bring my own. So, which would you like to try? Ah. Well, I suppose it's all right. After all, as your mother tells you, my mother certainly told me, it is important, she always used to say, always to try new things. Open up.
Right, so here's clip number 2. In this clip, you get the clue as to what the food item is, so it's only worth 1 point. Tell me what movie this is from.
Better catch something. This is my wife's holiday roast. Don't worry about it. $3,000 buys an awful lot of roast. Come and get it!
Okay, here's another clip. This one is worth another 2 points. Name the movie for 1 point, and name the food the person was force-fed that made them die for another point.
This man ate till he burst. He didn't really burst. Not all the way. He was hemorrhaging internally. And there was a hematoma in the rectus and the transverse abdominis muscles.
So he did die by eating.
Killer put a bucket beneath him, kept on serving. Took his time, too. Coroner said this could have gone on for more than 12 hours. Victim's throat was swollen, probably from the effort. And there was definitely a point when he passed out. That's when the killer kicked him, and he burst.
Oof. Sadistic fucker, huh?
When you want somebody dead, you drive by and shoot them. You don't risk the time it takes to do this. Unless the act itself has meaning.
Come on. Somebody had a problem with a fat boy and decided to torture him. Simple as that.
In the grocery bags, we found 2 receipts. That means the killer stopped in the middle of everything and made a second trip to the supermarket.
So?
This is beginning.
We've got 1 dead guy, not 3.
No motive.
Don't even start that big brain of yours cooking on this, all right?
Okay, here's another. And here's where it's going to get a little tough. I've been giving you candy bars up to now, and no, that's not a hint. All right? The next clip is from a very small horror film, a great one, I should add. So I'm going to give you 2 points if you guess the movie, and another point if you guess what it is that they're really eating. And here's a hint. It's not venison.
This venison you butchered today cooked up real nice and juicy, Ed. Thank you for the present. Phil is going to be in heaven when he sees what's for dinner.
It's my pleasure. I know how much you and your hubby like to eat.
And mind you, the actual movie name is kind of almost given away in the clip itself, so this one should be cheesecake for most of you. Guess the movie for 1 point. Tell me the food for another.
Howdy, folks. You like blood, violence, freaks of nature? Well, then come on down to Captain Spaulding's Museum of Monsters and Madmen. Yeah, see the alligator boy. Ride my famous murder ride. Most of all, don't forget to take home some of my taste. It just tastes so damn good.
All right. Now, here's another tough one. If you can name the movie, I'll give you 2 points. The food is chili, as you'll hear, but if you can tell me the secret ingredient, I'll give you another point.
The Texas OU Chili Cook-Off Champion is from Dallas's favorite caterer. I think he's kind of cute. The Last Roundup Rolling Grill Chef, Drayton Sawyer! This year, Drayton, you've got to tell the secret of that fabulously tasty chili.
No secret. It's the meat. Don't skimp on the meat. I got a real good eye for prime meat. Runs in the family. Whoop, whoop. It's one of those hard-shelled peppercorns. I gotta say, I love this town. This town loves prime meat.
All right, got that one? Here's another one. In this one, since the food is being given away left, right, and center, I just need you to guess the movie for 1 point.
We've got so much fucking battery power, we could fuel a small world country for a month.
We got rice, we got monster fruit punch.
Oatmeal raisin, baby.
You how soft.
Hey!
You weasel?
Marshmallow.
Oh my god!
Ooh. Ooh, do you believe in ghosts?
All right, this should be relatively easy. I have no idea what it is that they're cooking, so we'll just say guess the movie for 1 point.
Who likes some rare?
Me!
How can you guys eat that stuff? It looks like dead animals.
Dead animals? That's the old counselors. You cannibals!
If you would mix all this stuff right, you'd get all the protein you need.
Too bad Annie never showed up. She was supposed to be quite a good cook.
I'm a messenger of God. You're doomed if you stay here.
Okay, and a bonus here. If you can tell me the name of the character who warns them that they're all doomed, I'll throw in another point. Okay, so name the last movie for 1 point. Tell me the character's name for another. Okay, this one is for those of you who have been paying attention. In episode 32, back in February, I made fun of a way a certain chef talks. I love the chef. I just thought he sounded like a character from an old horror movie. In this clip, name the movie this is from, and as a bonus, tell me the chef that I said sounds just like him.
They take the form of wolves and bats. They leave their coffins at night, and they feed on the blood of the living.
Okay, got that? You remember that? All right, here's a hint on the chef.
Little bit of the sweet potatoes.
Okay, here's the last one. Has nothing to do with food unless you're into eating roadkill. Guess the movie title for 1 point.
You killed the wolf.
Well, there's no crime in that, is there?
The wolf was Balon.
You think I don't know the difference between a wolf and a man?
Balon became a wolf, and you killed him. A werewolf can be killed only with a silver bullet, or a silver knife, or a stick with a silver handle.
Okay, so that's it. So you can send your answers to Phil at mylifeasafoodie.com. Contest is open until November 3rd. The first person with the most points will win our grand prize, the DVDs. But just like all child sporting events nowadays, you're all winners, okay? So don't forget that. Okay, so let's cook something now. It's Halloween show. We need to make something good that goes with pumpkin beer. And I think dessert is in order. Pumpkin creme brulee. You like that, brulee? Pumpkin creme brulee. Here's what you're going to need to make pumpkin creme brulee. First of all, you're going to need a torch, like a propane torch. Man, I love power tools. You can bring power tools in the kitchen, man. That's man cooking. Creme brulee is kind of like a custard that you put sugar on top, and then you caramelize the sugar so it makes this nice hard sugar crust on top. So you use a torch, or you can use it a broiler, but that's no fun. You know, bring the torch out. You'll need 2 cups of heavy cream, 1/4 cup of light brown sugar, 1/4 cup of granulated sugar, 8 large egg yolks, 1/2 teaspoon of pure vanilla extract, 1/4 teaspoon of ground cinnamon, 1/8 teaspoon of grated nutmeg, and 1 cup of mashed cooked pumpkin. You can either cook the pumpkin yourself, or you could buy the canned stuff. I don't care. First thing you want to do is preheat the oven to 325 degrees, so it's warming up while you're doing this. Arrange 8 half-cup ramekins or custard cups in a large metal baking pan and rub the insides of the cups with butter. In a medium saucepan, combine 2 cups of cream, 1/4 cup of brown sugar, and 1/4 cup of granulated sugar. Bring that to a really small, short simmer over medium-high heat. Just, you want to stir to dissolve the sugar and then remove it from the heat. You don't want to bring it to a boil. You just want to dissolve the sugar. In a medium bowl, whisk the 8 egg yolks until they're frothy, and then slowly add 3/4 cup of the hot cream mixture. Whisk it constantly. You have to keep mixing this stuff or you're going to make scrambled eggs. Be very cautious. Slowly add the cream into the egg yolks. Then add the egg mixture into the remaining hot cream and whisk that. Just keep it whisking until it's all fluid. If you stop whisking, you're going to make scrambled eggs, I'm telling you. You're going to screw this whole thing up. Add 1/2 teaspoon of the pure vanilla extract, 1/4 teaspoon of the ground cinnamon, 1/8 teaspoon of grated nutmeg, and 1 cup of mashed cooked pumpkin or the canned stuff. And then whisk that until it's smooth. Strain it through a fine mesh strainer, get the lumps out of it, and put that into a large bowl. And then once it's all strained out, divide that custard into the custard cups. Add just enough hot water to come halfway up the sides of the cups. So the pan that you have it in, just fill that with water until it comes up halfway to the sides of the cups. It's got to stay in water, otherwise it's going to burn. Bake this until the custards are just set in the center, but not stiff. About 45 minutes to 55 minutes. Keep your eye on it. Remove it from the oven and then get them cold to room temperature and then put them in the refrigerator until they're well chilled. At least 3 hours. I like to do it overnight. This is something I like to do the day before I'm going to serve them. When you're ready to serve them, pull them out of the fridge. Sprinkle each custard with about 1/2 teaspoon of the remaining sugar. Just, you know, cover it with sugar. Fire up that torch and burn the crap out of it. Seriously, caramelize the sugar across the top until it's nice and hard. And that's the dish. It's like eating pumpkin pie with a hard sugar crust on it. It's very simple to make. You can't screw this up. It's wonderful. And it goes really well with pumpkin ale from Dogfish Head.
The thing that scares me, and I'm being really honest right now, is the fact that I think that ghost is really disturbed and angry. And just like an angry, disturbed person, you have to be very, very cautious with anybody that's a little mentally off. I wasn't prepared for a poltergeist angry activity. I wasn't prepared for something that could hurtle something at us. But we have to believe that we're protected. And we have to believe that we have guides and that we're alive and that nothing's really going to happen to us.
Food Inc. finds its way on DVD next Tuesday, November 3rd. So those of you who didn't get a chance to see this film in theaters, do me a favor. Don't rent the movie. Buy it. Buy it instead. Sight unseen. Don't even dick around with renting it. You'll want to own this movie. If you're really into the show and the food issues we talk about, you're going to want this movie around. It's important. And if you own it, you can loan it to others and kind of spread the gospel a little bit. It's kind of like buying a Bible. Then you go door to door and you preach the message with it. But this one, you just have to hand it out to people and say, look, watch this. And they can believe it or not believe it, but it just helps. And listen, I don't ask you guys for a lot. I mean, I ask you to buy 99-cent songs on iTunes, but that's not much. I'm pleading with you, own this flick. Who knows when this message is going to be delivered effectively again, all right? For now, call it the New Testament. Go forth, preach the gospel. Food Inc. on DVD, November 3rd. All right, kids, listen, that's all I have. I hope you enjoyed our Halloween special episode. I want to thank After Dark Films for supplying this year's Halloween prizes, especially Miss Horror Fest Vic Tim for taking the time out to call in, help crank the creepiness factor up a few notches. That was fun. Visit horrorfestonline.com for more information on Horror Fest 4. Starts January 29th. You can buy DVDs from previous Horror Fests and check out all the Miss Horror Fest videos. She's a nut, and I like her a lot. Don't forget to send your answers to our horror movie quote game. If some of the movies were a bit obscure, I apologize, but I think I left adequate clues throughout the show for those movies that did seem a bit harder to recognize. If you're truly stumped, I gave the answer to one of them during our interview with Vic Tim. So go back and listen to that, and you'll hear an answer from one of the movies that I know is going to be tough for you. Another is in the movie clip itself because the person is called by name. So if you really did get stumped and want to win those four promo DVDs from After Dark Films, go back to those segments and figure it out. Or not, your call. I just hope I helped you get into the Halloween spirit a little bit. Music in this episode, too many bands to list, so I'm going to make sure I have a complete list is on the website. Go to mylifeasafoodie.com, get all your answers there. I hope you have a fun Halloween. Be safe, don't drink and drive. Until next time, my name is Phil. This has been My Life as a Foodie. Happy Halloween.
When you get that, you know, that nice celebration coming into the dugout and you're getting your ass hammered by guys, there's no better feeling than to have that done. And